have been studying, well, we started off studying these things of 2 Peter, and then we launched the last one of those, being love, and we turned to 1 Corinthians 13. We have studied for many weeks now 1 Corinthians 13, and tonight I'm going to teach you three verses that should be in 1 Corinthians 13 that are in 1 Corinthians 14. You understand that every word, every jot and tittle in this Bible is inspired. It's the eternal Word of God, preserved word for word. However, the chapter divisions are for our convenience, so we'll know how to find certain scriptures. Paul, when he was writing his letter to the Philippians, didn't say now chapter 1, and then he finished that and said now chapter 2. So, in my opinion, which means it is the real opinion, in my opinion, the first three verses. And you'll believe the same thing after a while, because I'm going to ask you about 9 o'clock if you believe it. If you don't, we'll go on to 10 o'clock. Do you believe it? And you will believe it in a few minutes after I've taught you. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity. Now that connects it with chapter 13, because the word is love there. The word is agape, which is translated charity or love, and neither is a bad translation. Follow after charity or love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, and exhortation, and comfort. Our Heavenly Father, bless our study of the Bible tonight, and help us to want to learn the Bible. First. And now, Holy Father, we come to this wonderful book, and this amazing part of this wonderful book. Bless our study. Help us to pay attention to the book, and to thee, and the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me have your attention. I want you to go ahead and open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to look at it immediately, but in just a few moments we will, and be looking at it throughout the entire Bible study. So we just keep your Bibles open there in front of you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, let me explain two or three things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, don't leave me now, follow me carefully, I'm laying the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14 are all about the same subject. Now, if you know the Bible at all, you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 deals with the gifts of the Spirit. But what you don't realize is that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 likewise deals with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, look at the last verse, if you would please, of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. The last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice now, read it out loud with me, please. Ready? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Or look at me. That means that this is closing the chapter 12 dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, such as, I'll list them for you. I have written down here, wisdom is a gift of the Spirit, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, teachers, helps, and government. Now, these are all the gifts of the Spirit. And we won't go into a lesson of that on the gifts of the Spirit. But chapter 12 ends with that. Look at it again. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Then we have chapter 13. Now look at the first verse of chapter 14. First verse of chapter 14. I'll read it, and you follow me silently. Follow after charity. Wait a minute. We're talking about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Sounds like to me we're just continuing it. So I think that this is a division of the chapter. Perhaps it should not be there. It should probably be down a little later. Follow after charity. And desire, notice, spiritual gifts. Look at me. In chapter 12, we ended with spiritual gifts. Is that right? And chapter 14, we began with spiritual gifts. Consequently, chapter 13 is a part of the teaching about spiritual gifts. Look at me now and pay attention. A part of the teaching about spiritual gifts. Consequently, chapter, the subject is spiritual gifts. Now, then what in the world does love have to do with spiritual gifts? Well, you find that in the early verses of chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, who have not love, I'm nothing, and so forth. Love is the, let's put it this way, love is the way that we are to administer the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, if you have the gift of prophecy, we'll get that after a while, but you don't love, it's not true. It's not God's gift. Bear in mind, it's a gift of the Spirit and God's Spirit. God is love. And so, consequently, the 13th chapter, I hope you're getting it now, the 13th chapter is simply telling us how to minister the gifts of the Spirit. It's a parenthetical chapter, if you please. In chapter 12, actually, you could, look at the last verse of chapter number 12 again, please. And we're going to skip chapter 13 as if it were not there. I'll show you how it fits in. But covet earnestly the best gifts. That's the last verse of chapter 12. And yet I show on you a more excellent way. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So the last verse of chapter 12 deals with wanting the best spiritual gifts. And chapter 14 and verse 1 deals with the same subject. Get that indifferent look off your face now. You're here, you may as well listen. So chapter 14 and verse 1 is the same subject as chapter 12 and verse 31. So actually, chapter 13 is a parenthetical chapter. He's talking about spiritual gifts, and God puts a parenthesis here and says, by the way, this is the way you're supposed to use those spiritual gifts. Doesn't do any good if you have the gift of prophecy if you don't have love. Use love with your helps. Use love with your government. Use love with your discerning of spirits. And so what he's simply doing, he's parenthesizing chapter 13 to show you how we are to use the gifts of the Spirit. Consequently, chapter 14 and chapter 12, chapter 14 is a continuation of chapter 12, and chapter 13 is a part of the three-chapter package on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're going to look at it for a few minutes. I want you to notice something about the greatest of these gifts. Look at chapter 12, verse 31 again, please. I'll read it again. Look at it. But covet earnestly the best gifts. All right, look at me. Look at me. Covet earnestly the best gifts. All right, does that mean that some of these gifts are better than others? Yes or no? Anybody home? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Some of these gifts are better than others. Now, so far in our study, we don't know which these gifts are. But some of these gifts are better than the other gifts. All right, look at the verse again. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way, and that excellent way is to love while you administer these gifts. Now look at chapter 14, verse 1. We've already determined that some gifts are better than others. Look at 14, verse 1. Follow after charity or love, and desire spiritual gifts. Get this now. But rather that ye may prophesy. All right, look at me. Some gifts are better than others, right? All right. Then what is the best gift? It says, follow after spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. And again, in these passages in chapter 14, it tells us that the best gift is the gift of prophecy. Now tonight, we're going to study that gift of prophecy. Since it is the best gift, follow me carefully, that means prophecy is better than discerning the spirits, right? That means prophecy, whatever it is better than miracles. Is that right? That means prophecy, whatever it is better than the gift of tongues. Is that right? That means prophecy, whatever it is better than the gift of government. Is that right? Prophecy is the top of the rung. It is the most coveted one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now then, the word prophecy comes from two words. The word pro, which that's prophecy. The word pro simply means forth. Like if I throw the ball forward, I throw it forth, say, throw the ball forth. That's the word. And then also prophecy. The last part of that word is the word, we spell it, the word phemi be better, which means to speak. So the word prophecy means to speak forth. Now, in this, in here, it does, I'll show you that in a moment. I'll prove it to you. But in this particular passage, prophecy is not somebody foretelling the future. It is not a fortune teller. It is not John on the Isle of Patmos. It's not Daniel in captivity. It's simply speaking forth. Now then, it says, one, I want you to look at verse number one of chapter 14 again. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. That word desire there means to want earnestly. It means want earnestly the spiritual gifts of the Spirit. Now, then it says, but rather, and that word rather means very, very much. Rather to prophesy. Look at me. Look at me now. God is saying that desire the spiritual gifts, but the most desirable is the gift of prophecy. What is that? Speaking forth. That means speaking truths of God that people can understand. And chapter 14 goes on and on and on, showing you how it is so much better to stand up and speak where folks can understand what you're saying concerning the truths of God than to jabber in some kind of a silly tongue. You see, the church at Corinth was a charismatic church. That's what it was. Jimmy Swaggart's great-great-grandfather was pastor of it. And it was a carnal, worldly church. It's very interesting to me that that nothing is said in Ephesians about the gifts, about the gift of tongues. Nothing is said in Romans. Nothing is said in Colossians. Nothing is said in that sweet church in Philippians. The only church that was the church that was speaking in tongues was the carnal, baby Christian church. You hear me carefully. I think there are some Christian charismatics, but they're babes. I think they're Christian charismatics, but they're carnal. Anybody that would really get up and jabber where nobody can understand him, then stand up and tell folks the good things of God, there's something carnal about that. And the entire 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, God is simply saying that desire mainly the gift of prophecy. All right, now let's review just a bit. What is chapter 13? What do chapter 12 and 13 and 14 talk about? The spiritual what? Talk to me, the spiritual what? All right. Are there some gifts better than others? Yes or no? All right. What is the best gift? Prophecy. All right. Now, that means that God's greatest gift of the Spirit is prophecy, which means speaking forth. Now then, oh, get this, you're going to be surprised when you get this. What is the main thing we're supposed to speak forth about? You see, just as there are the better gifts of the Spirit, prophecy being the best gift, there are also better things to speak forth about. Okay, let's do it this way. Would it be better for me to talk about, I'm speaking to a crowd of unsaved people. Would it be better if we talk about the plan of salvation or women wearing pants? Yes, women wearing pants, you're right. And no, about the plan of salvation, you see. Now, both of those are prophecy. Both of those are speaking forth. It's very plain in the Bible that a woman's not supposed to wear things pertaining to a man, but that's not the main thing about the Bible. The main thing about the Bible is that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, you see. So there are some prophecies more important than others. There are some things that you speak forth. Now, just as there are gifts of the Spirit, and some of those gifts are better than others, right? And one is the best of all, right? What is it? What is it? What is it? Prophecy. And prophecy comes from two words. One which means what? Forth. And one which means what? Speak. So then prophecy is to speak forth. Now, we're going to find that just as there are gifts of the Spirit that are better than others, likewise there are things that you can speak forth that are better than others. And I want you to notice what they are. Look down, please, to
verse number 3 of chapter 14. Verse number 3 of chapter 14. Get this now. But he that prophesieth, what does that mean? Says what? Talk to me. Prophesy means what? Speak forth. He that speaketh forth, speaketh unto men, get this now, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now look at me. These are the three things most important to speak forth. But it says, and in that order, there are gifts of the Spirit. Don't leave me now. There are gifts of the Spirit. Some are more important than others. One is the most important of all. And inside that one, which is prophets are speaking forth, there are many things we're supposed to speak forth. For example, Paul said, I declare unto you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Now, we're supposed to speak everything in this book we're supposed to speak. But everything in this book is not as important as other things in this book. There are things in this book more important than other things. For example, it talks about the Bible more tolerable and so forth, but I won't go into that. Now then, what then? Don't leave me now, because right now I'm going to tighten the screw. This don't surprise you. Let's review now. What are chapters 12, 13, and 14 talking about? Spiritual what?
Yes.
Talk to me. Spiritual what?
Yes.
All right. Are there some gifts more important than others? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Is there one gift that's the most important of all? Yes or no?
Yes.
What is that gift that's most important?
Prophecy.
Say it again. What?
Prophecy.
What is prophesying? Speaking forth. All right. Now, are there some things that we speak forth that are more important than other things we speak forth? Yes or no?
Yes,
it is. All right? And we have them here. Number one is edification. Now, this is going to shock you. If you love the Bible and love truth, this is going to surprise you. It says, he that speaketh, prophesieth, verse 3 says, speaketh unto men, first, for edification. Look at me. The word edification comes from two Greek words. The word oikos, get this, which means home. Don't miss it. Means home. And the word oikos and the word demos, which means build. The word edification means building homes. Building homes. So, the most important gift is prophecy. The most important thing to prophesy is edification, and edification is building homes. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing, apart that I can speak to God's people now, and I don't want them to say, but to God's people, the most important thing I can teach to you as people of God is how to build your home. That's the most important thing. It's what God says. There are gifts of the Spirit. Some are more important than others. One is most important of all. And there are many things that we can speak forth, but the first three that are mentioned are edification, and we'll get to the others in a minute, like exhortation and comfort, but right now, edification, which means building homes. So, the most important of the gifts, the most important of the gifts is teaching people how to build their homes. That means I stand up here and teach you for weeks and weeks and weeks on the subject of marriage. That's a million times better than somebody in some stupid charismatic church getting up and teaching you how to talk in tongues. Bible says it. Don't you be embarrassed thinking they have something you don't want or can't get. When I go to by a church like that, I feel like I go by tuberculosis sanatorium. I don't want what's in either one of them. Now you listen to me. Baptists are not second-class Christians. And the charismatics aren't the first-class Christians. I haven't thought about this illustration in years, but it just passed through my mind right quick, and I got to give it to you before it passes on. I was pastor in Garland, Texas. A man got saved in our church like a dog named Rover. He got saved all over, and he was on fire for God. His wife wouldn't come to our church because she went to a charismatic church. And it was causing strife in their family. I got the, and by the way, I was only a good night. I was in my late 20s. I was just a kid preaching. And she wouldn't come to our church. He wouldn't go to her charismatic church. So, but their family, their marriage about to break up over it. So I got the idea that I come and visit them. And she said, no, I won't let you come. Then I got the idea, okay, why don't your pastor and I come? And we'll try to get your marriage back together. See if we can have a meeting of the minds. Oh, she said, that's fine. So, her charismatic pastor and I, not together, we didn't come together, but we met there with him. And here was the fellow, member of our church. Here was his wife, member of the charismatic church. And here was a fella about 60 years old or so, a charismatic preacher. And here was a young whippersnapper about 29 years old, a Baptist preacher. So we got in there. And so I said, Pastor, you're the senior pastor here. I said, we're here to try to salvage this marriage, him and I. And I said, let's read some scriptures. And I wasn't trying to trick him at all. It worked out that way, but I wasn't trying to. And I wasn't upset that it worked out that way. But I said, why don't you just read one of the passages in the Bible about marriage? Well, he says the Bible says that the wife's supposed to be in subjection to the husband. No. I didn't say quote it. I said read it. Well, he said the Bible says the husband's to love his wife as Christ loved the church. I didn't say quote it. I said read it. I said, just find any passage in the Bible that deals with marriage and read it to us. Well, he said, there are a lot of them. I said, okay, then there are a lot of them. Find one. That freaking rascal couldn't even find one verse in the Bible that dealt with marriage. I said, you're trying to tell me that you're the spiritual leader of this woman right here? And you don't even know how to find a verse in the Bible or a passage on marriage? She looked at him and said, Pastor, you don't know where a verse on marriage is? He didn't say anything, but bowed his head. So I turned to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 and began to read and on marriage. And then I got real, back when I was a young whippersnapper, I was mean. Of course, as you know, I've gotten over it now, but I was mean back in those days. And I said, ma'am, are you going to let that guy be in charge of your family? He doesn't even know where a scripture is on the family, marriage, child rearing. I said, do you know any on tongues? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah, Acts chapter 2. I said, yeah, you got a Bible, got two chapters in it. Yeah. And I said, I would not for one single moment trust my family in the hands of a man that can't even find a passage on marriage. She joined our church the next Sunday morning. Now, you listen carefully to me, and you listen well. The greatest of all, the gift of tongues, which is no more than the gift of talking in some language, so people cannot understand the language that's being used can understand it in their own language. It's not a jabber. And it's not even scriptural, unless there's an unsaved person there that can't understand the language which is being preached. But the Bible puts that as the last gift. But the greatest gift is speaking forth. What he's saying is, the greatest gift is speaking forth some things that will help the people of God. But he says, the greatest thing you can speak forth, get me now, the greatest thing you can speak forth is to build homes. There are many purposes of the church. But the greatest purpose of this church, to the saved people, is to teach you how to build your marriage and your home. Before there was ever a church, there was a home. By the way, please don't misunderstand me, but a Christian home is more important than a Christian church. And the strength of this church would be just as strong as the strength of our marriages and our homes are. Consequently, the best thing you can get, the greatest gift is prophecy, speaking forth, and the first thing that God mentions in importance in speaking forth is building the home. So what does that mean? That means that the best thing you can do
is speak to build homes, like lessons on marriage, like training your children, like Brother Owens and his sweetheart couples class having the recent seminar or retreat where they tried to get their marriages all straightened out. Now you listen to me, folks. You listen to me. You better thank God. And don't thank God for me. You thank God you go to a church that's trying to get your family straightened out. That's the most important.
So God said, of all these spiritual gifts, you're supposed to love while you do them. All of us be saturated and propelled by love and done in love. But the most important is prophecy. Most important thing about prophecy is the building of the home. Most of Satan's attacks today are against the home. Abortion.
It's the devil's attack against family.
Women's rights.
Satan's attacks against family.
God says the woman is in subjection to her husband. The women's rights husbands, they're fighting the home. The homosexual movement, it's an attack on the home. The marriage. The sanctity of it. Hollywood. Bunch of Hollywood whores. So-and-so got married, and it's her fourth wedding and his sixth wedding, and nobody seems to think anything about it. It's just as rotten for Hollywood to live like that as your next-door neighbor to live like that. And most of you, if your heroes or heroines on that second screen that you watch, if they live next door to you, you wouldn't let your kids play with theirs.
But you watch them on the box. Our music is an attack on marriage.
Gun control is an attack on the home. Take away the protection of your family.
So they say.
The whole thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great satanic attack in America. Please don't misunderstand me, and I'm not trying to be unkind at all. And I'll say it again, and I'm not mad at anybody. But I'll say that women, if they don't have to work to help the husband provide, they're supposed to stay home with the kids. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just teaching the Bible. The Bible says a woman's supposed to rear the kids. Now, listen to me carefully. Don't be upset with me, or I'll get upset with you. And you don't get to preach to me. I'll let you have it Sunday if you get upset with me. Back in World War II, the men went to the war. The women had to go to the defense plants. Men came home. Women didn't go home. Now listen carefully. The television ministry, philosophy, programs, your laws of the land, your queers, your abortion people, your women's rights people, those who protect the rights of children, are direct attacks on the home. No wonder God said the most important thing, gift, is the gift of prophecy. And the most important part, the thing to prophesy about or speak forth about, is the home. Consequently, there are many purposes of the church as far as teaching God's people are concerned. But the most important thing, amen. How many times you hear me preach on something up here, and I'm not preaching on the home, but I apply it to the home. I'll preach on be ye kind one to another. And what do I say?
Your children are supposed to be kind to your brothers and sisters. You husbands are supposed to be kind and thoughtful to your wives. And your children are supposed to be kind to mom and dad. And dad's not supposed to be younger.
How many times do I take a story like that and put it right back into the home?
Because the Bible says that the teaching or speaking forth concerning edification.
And the word edification, look at it any way you want. Check any kind of
Bible dictionary, any kind of Greek lexicon. Check any of it. And you'll find that the word edification means build home. Build the home. Build the home.
That means it's more important to stand up here and teach on marriage than it is for some guy to stand up here and speak on and in his jabber-tongue business.
And by the way, it's more important to do that than folks get so happy they don't have any preaching.
Oh, a fellow said not long ago, said, we got so happy last Sunday, our folks got in the Spirit, and we had to call off the sermon. I said, you didn't get in the Spirit, God's Spirit. It may have been the Spirit. It wasn't God's Spirit.
Because my Bible says the greatest gift is speaking forth. And the greatest thing to speak forth is building a home.
Now, the two other things here also, I want you to notice them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. And these are outlining what we're supposed to prophesy. He that prophesieth or speaketh forth, speaketh unto men for edification. Now, that's building the home. And exhortation. Let's stop with that one for a moment. What does that mean? That word is the word paraclete in the Bible. Parakletos or parakletos. It's the same word that is used in John 15:26 concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called our paraclete. What does that word mean? Someone to run to our side and pick us up if we've fallen. Someone to run to our side and pick us up if we're fallen. Now then, the same word is used in 1 John 2:1. Not of the children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, in our church, if any man sin, we have a gossip on the telephone. If any man sin, we tell him off. The Bible said, if any man sin, we have an advocate. Jesus is interested in picking you up, not kicking you down. But the word is paraclete. That's what the word is. Hear me carefully now. Just as Jesus runs to our side when we've fallen, just as the Holy Spirit runs to our side, the Comforter, the Paraclete, if you please. Even so, the second most important thing for a preacher or speaking forth to speak is exhortation, Paraclete. What does that mean? That means I'm supposed to run to your side. And that means I'm supposed to teach you to run to people's side. If people are in trouble, if people are sick, if people are bereaved, if people have fallen into sin, it's our job to run to their side and pick them up. Now, that's the second thing. Hear me carefully now. Our entire study tonight is connecting chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 to chapter 13 and chapter 12. Chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 parenthesizes and talks about how to administer these gifts. Chapter 14 takes up chapter 12 and should be a part of chapter 12, no doubt, and chapter 13, and starts talking again about the gifts of the Spirit. And we find in chapter 12, verse 31, there are better gifts. Some gifts are better. We find in the next verse, chronologically, which is 14:1, that the best gift is prophecy. We found that prophecy means speak forth. We found three things here we're supposed to speak forth. One, edification, building the home. Two, picking folks, running to folks' side and picking them up. Three. Look at chapter 14, verse 3 again. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men for edification, that's building a home, and exhortation, running to his side, picking him up, and comfort. Now that word comfort is I was surprised. I expected it to be the same thing that paraclete is. It's not. That word comfort means to speak consolation. It means verbal encouragement. Now you preaching boys, listen to me. Hear me carefully. So afraid, all you preaching boys, listen to me. And you teachers, I was under the college, teach preacher boys, listen to me. It is important that preacher boys speak forth against sin. It is important that preacher boys speak forth against men wearing earrings. It is important that preacher boys or preachers speak forth on women wearing immodest clothing. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. But the three most important things to speak for: home building, picking up the fallen, and encouraging the people of God. You'd be shocked if you knew how many of our graduates, hear me carefully now, send their people home discouraged every Sunday night. We have in our fundamental movement somehow gotten a little bit of a feeling that if we don't knock the devil out of them, we haven't preached to them. Every once in a while, you need the devil knocked out of you. And come back on the next Sunday. But hey, what? For every time I knock the devil out of you, I'm going to pick you up a dozen times. For every time I knock the devil out of you, I'm going to talk to you about your home a dozen times.
or more. For every time I knock the devil out of you, I'm going to send you out of here encouraged a dozen times. Now, our preacher boys need this. Desperately they need this. Let me review, and we'll have a brief business meeting and go home. Substrate. Chapter 14, verse 1 is a part of chapter 12 and 13. It's all a package on the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is how to administer these gifts of the Spirit in love. The last verse of chapter 12 tells us that there are some gifts more important than others. The first verse in chapter 14 tells us that the most important gift is prophecy. And the third verse of chapter 14 tells us the most important things to prophesy. Building homes, lifting folks up who've fallen, and encouraging people. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. If you knew how many people live for the Sunday morning service here. Live for it. You'd be amazed if you knew how many people can't wait till they get here to hear my corny humor. You're shocked. Doesn't cost anything. You don't like it, you break even. But people are supposed to leave this place encouraged.
Give me again. Most important gift of the Spirit is prophecy. Prophecy is speaking forth. Most important thing to speak forth is building a home. Second most important thing to speak forth, lifting up the fallen. Third most important thing to speak forth, encouraging the people of God. Look at chapter 14, please, again. This is the last verse of chapter 14. This ends the three chapters on spiritual gifts. It ends with this. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, set up straight and look at me. He closes out these three chapters on spiritual gifts, saying that all things be done in order. And what that means is in proper succession. He's saying here, put tongues last on the list. Put prophecy first on the list. We've been talking about gifts of the Spirit. We said that all things be done. What's he talking about? That all these things we've been talking about. Helps and governments and miracles and discerning of spirits and healing. All these spiritual gifts. Let them be done in proper succession. So what he's saying is, put the most emphasis on prophecy. And he's saying, put the most emphasis on the home. And secondly, the most emphasis on lifting up the fallen. And thirdly, the most emphasis on encouraging the brethren. Folks, I don't know how to teach the Bible any more clearly than I taught tonight. I don't know how to teach it any more clearly than I taught. And Howells Henderson College, we better be very careful. Look. You can get up and preach on rock music at Howells Henderson College and have them stand on the pews. Now, if they stand on the pews for 3 minutes on rock music, they'll stand on the pews 5 minutes on the home. They stand on the pews over men wearing earrings and women wearing pants and men wearing long hair. They stand up and holler 3 minutes, they'll stand up and holler 5 minutes on lifting up the fallen. And don't you ever let your people go home on a Sunday night without them feeling better than they did when they walked in. And so I simply package it like this. Chapter 12 through 14 is a package dealing with gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is parenthetical, which teaches us how to do these gifts of the Spirit, how to minister them. The last verse of chapter 12 tells us that some gifts are more important than others. The first verse of chapter 14 tells us what the most important gift is. Most important gift is prophecy, speaking forth. And then in chapter 3 of verse 3 of chapter 14, it tells us in order what the most important things are to speak for. Edification, that's home building. Exhortation, paraclete. Running to the one side, picking up the fallen. And comfort,
which is the word for encouraging words. Encouraging words. All right, we're going to have, we're early tonight. We're going to have plenty of time not to get out any later than usual. We have to have a business meeting, the last one we have.